how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, to see God's praise than when we first begun.
Praise the Lord. Do you appreciate God's amazing grace? Hallelujah. What a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. I tell you what, Wednesday night service was just a great time to be in the house of the Lord. Learned so many things and found out so many things that I didn't even have a clue about. How about you? The word of the Lord certainly is good. And well, we're just glad to be back in the house of God tonight. I believe He's going to give us a great time, don't you? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see Him in the house of the Lord tonight. Play some more of that if you will. Hallelujah. Bless you, Brother Reese. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you, my brother. Appreciate you. Jonathan, God bless you. Sounds good. Well, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, oh, the hour I first believed. Now it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound, oh, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. If you'll stand with me just for a few minutes, we'll look at our prayer requests tonight. I want to pray for our brother Charlie Hyde. He's the pastor of Spoken Word Church down in 10 Mile, Tennessee. He has stomach and esophagus infections. They're asking that we would remember him in prayer. We want to pray for brother Keith Phillips tonight, sick, unable to be in the service. Sister Irene Pierce wants us to remember her husband, Brother Mike Pierce, has a terrible cough. Let's just pray that the Lord would touch him. I want to pray for Brother Tracy tonight. He is in Pine Ridge Nursing Home over in Elizabethton and would love to have visitors. Information concerning that is available on the bulletin board, so remember that. Let's not forget Brother Tracy. He's a fixture around here, isn't he? He certainly is. I want to pray for Brother John, who is living in Canada, and for his family in Africa. They're having many needs in that family, so let's just commit that unto the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Linda Lawrence. She has been diagnosed with lupus, so let's pray for her tonight. The Lord would be mindful unto her. We'll remember Sister Ruth Ann Pascal in prayer, Brother Joe's wife. They were planning on visiting with us this weekend, and she took sick, and they had to postpone their trip down here, but they're asking that we would remember Sister Ruth Ann Pascal in prayer, that the Lord would give her a healing touch in her body. Brother Gary and Sister Lana wants us to remember Loyal Harper in prayer. Is that Loyal or Lavelle? Lavelle Harper in prayer. He was the family of Lavelle Harper in prayer. He was the pastor of a message church in Homestead, Florida. He passed away after a lingering battle with cancer. So we certainly want to remember his family and the church family as they go through this time, that the Lord would be mindful of those folks down in Florida. Sister Anna Altman offers this testimony. Thank you. Thank everyone who prayed for my mother, who recently had surgery for cancer. She is doing fine and received a good report at the doctor's office yesterday. Praise the Lord for that. So thank God for that testimony tonight. Sister Sherry Wiggins wants us to remember Chloe Dixon in prayer. She's running a fever and feeling very bad, so let's pray for that need tonight. Brother George Hamlin says to please pray for my niece, Angela Boyd, who is having a biopsy done next week. Thank you, and may God bless you. Also, we certainly want to continue to remember Brother Perry Green in prayer as he battles cancer, that the Lord would just be mindful of him, the church, Tucson Tabernacle, that God would just wrap him up in his arms of love and mercy and be merciful unto him. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we know that we're serving a God that's more than able to meet our needs tonight. We've seen him do it so many times. The testimonies we read here Wednesday night, Sister Carol's, Sister Sharon, what a wonderful testimony that was. Brother Jimmy, Sister Linda, what a wonderful testimony that was. God is so mindful of his people. Do you love him tonight with all your heart? Give him one big hand clap of praise if you would. Yes, it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch. God bless you. Love you, buddy.
I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know what? We get to go to church tonight. I'm so glad we get to go to church tonight. One day they're going to close those doors, but tonight we get to go to church. Let's have faith as we pray. Lord Jesus, my delight is to be in the house of God. I'm so thankful, Lord, we have this privilege to be back in your house to worship you in spirit and truth. We're asking you to come, Lord, and be the preeminent one in the service. After all, we're married to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, our mate, our lover. Lord, you are the Word, and you're the one that we are focused on. We desire you. We're thankful you come down in spirit form. We believe, Lord, that you desire to be in your bride. You told us that there'll be oneness in the end time. And we believe that true oneness so much that all God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was, he poured into this bride. So much, Lord, that Christ, you're here actually in bride form. The Word is becoming the bride become flesh. Lord, speak, Lord, through your Word tonight. Give us, Lord, that Logos. Let it become Rhema. Bring revelation that we might understand you. Help us to be close to you. Drawn closer. I pray for these requests, Lord, that I hold in my hand. I pray, Lord, for these two ministers, one that's passed, be with his family down in Miami, the other one in Tennessee. You know his need. I pray that you would touch him. Give him grace. Brother Perry out in Tucson, their church out there. Lord, if you're not going to, if you would, if it wasn't be for you, Lord, he may have this terminal condition, but Lord, you can still touch cancer. You can raise him up. Lord, deliver him if it be your will. We ask that you would grant it, dear Lord, each one of these requests. There's many. Pray you be with Brother Tracy, Lord. He's up in age, but Father, you can still heal those that are old. Touch him. Encourage his heart, Lord. He needs a real touch of encouragement. Lord, I pray that to be laid upon the people's hearts to go see him. Send him a card. Give him a call. Give him, Lord, he's one of the sheep here. He's our brother. I pray, Lord, that you would just minister to his need. Lord, as our brother comes and brings the word of life tonight, let it be spiritual food in due season. Let it be the word, Lord, it would be just so tailor-made for the service tonight. Just what we have need of tonight. May we pull on the gift of God. May you anoint him to speak, anoint us to hear. And Lord, may we say when we've gone from this building, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way? Lord, just perform a miracle. Bring to us, Lord, the word of life. If there's one here tonight that's not saved, I pray you save them. There's one, Lord, that's give him a revelation that he's not really sealed in. We can't go, nobody going to rapture unless they got the new birth. Let that happen tonight also. Give us what we need. We ask it, Lord, and we'll give you praise for it. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Terry, God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well as they stream these services. May it minister to their hearts. I believe it does, don't you? Well, there's a lot going on in the world that we can't change, but there's one thing about it. We can progress in the Lord. I don't want to regress. I want to progress. How about you? Amen. Let's sing a song tonight. I shall not be moved. Old church song, but I believe it's true in our hearts tonight. I shall not be moved. Are you glad you're grounded? Are you glad you've got your feet on the rock? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved just like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Oh, now I shall not be. Oh, I shall not be just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Jesus is my Savior. In his love and favor, just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Oh, now I shall not be. Lord, I shall not be just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved in my Christ abiding. Oh, in his love I'm hiding, just like a tree that's planted by the trust him ever. Oh, he will fail me never. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Oh, now I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. Just like a tree planted
leading, oh, like a tree led in by the water, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be just like a tree that's planted by the water. By the water, I shall not be moved.
Hallelujah. All will not be moved. Praise the Lord. All kinds of things can be said about the prophet of the Lord, about the message of the hour, trying to kill its influence. Trying to prove this is wrong. If that's wrong, I'm going to tell you something. We're just like the old oak trees. The winds come, the winds howl. Our roots just get stronger. Our roots just get deeper. We're grounded in this great truth, church. God didn't give you this just to walk away from it. But God gave you this to get you to the other side. Somebody say hallelujah. Give Jesus one more big hand clap of praise. God is your oasis. God is our oasis. And God is your oasis in dry places. He makes flowers grow. Oh, God is your oasis where
where his grace.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, aren't you glad you're around the grace of God? Hallelujah. Not some kind of an old greasy grace that we just do what we want to, but a grace that makes us want to love Him with everything we got. Grace that makes us want to walk in every bit of truth that we know to walk in, Brother Terry. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. We're going to have a couple of songs tonight. Now, I asked Brother Brandon to sing Wednesday night, and because I didn't have it wrote down, when I remembered that he was supposed to sing, it's when I walked by him back there going to my seat. So, Brother Brandon, God bless you. Don't hold that against me, won't you? You'd live long enough, you'll be as old as me one day. We certainly appreciate Brother Brandon Green, don't we? Just a wonderful, wonderful brother. We love you, buddy. Give us two songs. Yeah, Brother Brandon's going to give us two songs tonight to make up for Wednesday night. You can handle that, can't you? Amen. We love Brother Brandon and his family, what they mean to the church here.
Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree? The amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Will might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty the burden of my heart rolled away? It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Yes, at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. And now I am happy all the day.
Than to be
a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords.
Praise the Lord. What in the world could you ever want that would be any greater than Jesus? If you were to be the richest person in the world, of course, in the last few years, your wealth would have greatly decreased, wouldn't it? If it goes on a little bit longer, it won't be worth the paper that it's written on. So if you was the greatest basketball player that ever lived, and time would go on, somebody would take enough steroids, well, they'd probably break your record. If you're the most beautiful woman, the most handsome man, whatever you could excel at in life, no doubt if you lived, if time went on long enough, somebody would break your record. And instead of being number one, you'd be number two or number three or on down, on down, on down the line. But living for Him, you're always on top. Glory. Glory. And nobody can ever get your place. Nobody. Think of it. Think of great sports people and all kinds of famous people, and they're replaced constantly. Politicians and great people and preachers and singers and whatever more. But if you ever truly get born again, filled with the presence of God, nobody can ever take your place. No matter how much richer they'd be than you, how much better looking or smart or whatever more. I appreciate that, don't you? Let's look tonight, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. It's one thing I so love about the Lord and His way is that when God chooses to reveal Himself, He doesn't always choose the great intellectuals and smart people. I'm not saying smart people cannot be saved either. I'm not saying that intellectual people cannot, God can't deal with them, rich and important people and all that. But yet, we know in the Scripture that many of the people that God chose, the majority of them, were people that the majority of the world would never have anything to do with it. Let's read about one man tonight. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Now let's look at this word revealed. Look at the meaning of it. Be admonished of God to give a divine command or admonition. To teach from heaven. To be divinely commanded, admonished, instructed. So now listen to this man. He was a devout man, a good man, but Scripture doesn't say he was a great man or an important man as far as that goes. But listen what this man had. He had something that Caiaphas and all those great men did not have. He was instructed from heaven. Now, what's that worth? Glory to God. Amen. To teach from heaven, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Now remember, the Holy Ghost ain't even been given yet. That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy rhema. Glory to God. Oh, I about had a spell and I found that. Oh, glory to God. It was revealed to him. It was not written in the Logos. Glory to God. You're talking about a beautiful example of Rhema. Now, what's amazing is I looked at every scripture that I could find on Rhema, and somehow I looked over that. It must have been, you know, how it is. You look right at it, and the Lord said, no, not now, Donnie, later. And then you go back and look again and say, whoa, I looked at that already. I love it when he does that, don't you? Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy Rhema. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. How did he know that? How did he know this was God's salvation? He's holding God's salvation in his arms. How did he know that? A rhema from God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your precious words. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making it so real to us. Dear God, I pray the Holy Ghost would take the word tonight. Speak to us, Father. We desire not only to know you in the form of Logos, your mandate for the day, your oracles, your divine principles, but we desire to know and understand you by Rhema. Help us, Lord God. Open our understanding tonight, Father. In Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. From that, I'd like to speak to you tonight on revealed Rhema. I don't know how many people that he told. I've not been able to find in history or find where Brother Branham actually said of how many people were aware of it or how many people even believed it that he told it to. But really, it didn't matter to him because the Holy Ghost had revealed it to him. Did he share it with his family, his friends, the people that were around, other believers, as we would call them? Well, the Bible doesn't really say. History doesn't say. As I said, I couldn't find what the prophet said. But yet, to this man, it was made so real to him. Now, how is he going to prove it? That it is actually real. How is he going to check it? How is he going to be able to really know that is this God? Is this a false leading? Is this a false impression? Is this something that is this the devil? The devil's trying to confuse me on this. And the devil's telling me that I'm going to see the Lord's Christ. How is he going to know? How is he really going to be able to prove that this is the truth? Now, we have many people around us in our ranks, especially in the last 6 months or a year, something like that. There seems to be such a shaking that is going on around the ranks of the message. And many folks not really sure if they believe Brother Brown was a prophet anymore and not sure if they believe the message anymore. And now, what's amazing to me about this is that the same scriptures that were used years ago to convince these people that the message was true and that Brother Branham was God's prophet, those scriptures are still there. Now, you think, which doctrines are they going to forfeit if they're going to believe that Brother Branham was a false prophet? So which doctrines that Brother Branham taught will they forfeit and believe that this, you know, knows Brother Branham being a prophet? Will it be one God? Water baptism in Jesus' name? Will it be holiness? Will it be all that? Well, if they do, then they got to take all them things out of the scripture too, which may mean there's no God. So if we're going to bring it on down, let's not stop at the prophet part. Let's go on down to the Bible and see maybe Allah's God after all. Maybe Shintoism is right. Maybe Tao, maybe all kinds of other things. But you and I know better than that, don't we? But yet how then could this man ever really be so convinced in his heart that whether he told hundreds or five or no one that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel and God had made this promise so real to him without one written scripture Now, the scriptures of the Old Testament was written, and he knew them, no doubt, that there was coming a Messiah, knew that it would be a virgin that would conceive, but there was nothing written about him. There was nothing written in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, so on and so on. There was nowhere that he could find in the canon of the Old Testament that scripture would be identified this as a prophecy. But yet God had made it so real to him. Now notice, here is a man without the Holy Ghost, but he has the Holy Ghost on him. Now, he's not born again yet, but the Holy Ghost was on him so greatly that it revealed to him a rhema from God. Amen. Glory to God, saints. If it could reveal something to him without the Holy Ghost, what about me and you with it? Oh, my. And this man walked a walk with God. Now, remember, he was devout and he was a good man. And he had a walk with God in everything that he knew. And no doubt he was nurturing this and feeding this and protecting what God had given him. And yet it was so real to him that he believed it absolutely didn't make no difference what nobody else said. Now, let me tell you something. This is where, to me, that the real believers of the followers of this message must have our foundation. That it is not just in how much scripture we can quote, not what good church we go to, you know, how much we do this and do that and the other, but the Word of God, the revelation of this hour must be so real in our hearts. And you know as well as I do, when God makes known to you a revelation, there's parts of that you couldn't explain it. I don't care how hard you try. But it is so real to you that nobody could talk you out of it, no matter how hard they try. But if you're only a Logos follower of this word, no doubt somewhere along the road, something will cause you to stumble. Something will pull you away. But if you're like this man right here and you're walking by that revealed rhema, there may be a question here and another one there and another one there and another one there. Them questions have nothing to do with it. You're serving the God who has the answers. That's what I want you to keep in mind. You and I may have questions and there may be things that we don't understand. I know I always have the answers and you don't always have them. But my daddy has all the answers. And if I need the answers for this question and that question, he'll give it to me. But if he don't, I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to live for him. Why would I want to turn and go out to the world now when the end time is right on us? We're right in the very brink of prophecy. The rapture is at hand. The coming of the Lord. Lord is near. Why turn back now? I don't want to go back. I want to go on and on and on and on. I burnt my bridges. I burnt my boats. I ain't got nowhere else to go to. Where could we go to? You have the remas of eternal life. Listen to me, children. I love all of you. And I want all of you to go with me. But let me be frank and honest with you. If every one of you turn back, including my family, I will go without you. I love my dear wife more than I love myself, and I'd freely lay down my life for her. But if Carol don't want to go, I'll see you. I'm going. My mama don't want to go. My daddy, my brothers, my daughters, my granddaughters, I'm going on. Is that the way you feel? Why? Because I've got more than Logos. I've got more than just a scripture with this scripture. I love all of that too, and I study it nearly every day of my life. But I've realized, and the closer we come to the end time, the more I've realized, it must be more than just something in our head. It must be something more than even in our spirit. It must be something so real down in the soul. And only God can make it that way. We can study, we can read, and we should do those things. And we can go to church and apply ourselves, and we should do those things, absolutely, but only the Holy Ghost can make it so real that nobody can get it out of you, because you know as well as I do, you've come through trials and tests of life, and it's been so hard that you thought, Lord, I can't make it another step, I can't go any farther, and you done had your mind made up, you was going to quit, you was going to turn back, but something greater than you pushed you on. Remember when Brother Branham said they're looking at his wife and he said there she was dead and the baby was dead, fixing to lay her in his arms, and he said the devil said, well, look at you, you've done this for God and that for God. And he said, God, what's the matter? God, what's the matter? He said, God wouldn't say nothing. But if God wouldn't say nothing, the devil would. You ever had them silent times in your life when God won't say nothing? But did you ever notice how old blabbermouth wants to talk when God won't say nothing?
God does that for a reason. God will get quiet on you sometimes. God will go quiet and the heavens are quiet and your heart's quiet and the Holy Ghost is quiet and the preacher's quiet. Seems like nobody won't say nothing, boy. The devil takes advantage of that opportunity. Oh yeah, and the God didn't stop him. He said, devil, shut up. Don't you talk to him. He's really discouraged right now. But the Lord let him go. And the devil, here he went. If God loves you and God done that, and Brother Lim said, I was back to the place. I was ready to say, well, if that's the way he is. But there was something down on the inside. A tie posted hell. Oh, brother, sister, this is it. This is it. That rhema that is so revealed to you, what is it? It's your own representation from the throne of God. Whenever you look and right at death and right at sickness and right at trouble, you have no answers to explain it. And when you're all beside yourself, don't you see what it's doing? Your soul is severing from your spirit. Your soul is severing from your body. Your soul is severing from your reason. And you look right down when there's no explanation, when there's no understanding, and you say, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord give and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death. You imagine this man now being up in years, holding in his heart that rhema word from God. Wonder how many diseases he had. Wonder how many, every time a flu would come around, he'd get it. Every time this would come around, that come around. But he'd say, you lying devil. You ain't taking me because I ain't hell the Lord's Messiah. You ain't taking me. I'm going to live to see it. God's done promised me. But yet that man had not one script, not one, not even a piece of a scripture. Not even one written word where he could point his finger to and say, I'll tell you one thing, devil, come back right here. He couldn't do it, Brother Dan. But it was so real in his heart, he might as well have 37,000 books with it written all over it. That's how powerful rhema is. Glory! As a matter of fact, rhema to a real believer is even more powerful than if you've got hundreds of verses of scripture. Because you and I both know there's promises in the written word. And we'll look right at it and still have fear and doubt and unbelief. And we'll say, well, yeah, God can do it, but he won't do it for me. And there you are looking right at that logos. But if God drops that rhema down in your heart, it don't make no difference how much pain you feel, how much heartache you feel. That rhema word breaks into the dunamis power of God, and it'll bat the devil away from your life. I'd kind of like to have been around Simeon's house sometime. Something was going around. Flu. Spanish flu. European flu. Swine flu. Bird flu. Hog flu. Dog flu. Every kind of flu you can imagine. The devil said, you got it now, boy. You're sniffing. You got a fever. You're going to die. He said, I ain't going to die. Maybe somebody heard him say, what'd you say? You said, what? I'm not going to die. Oh, Lord, he's went off the deep end. Now, Pat Paul, please don't. Now, Grandpa, honey, don't go that way. You've been a good man all your life. No, I'm telling you, I'm not going to die until I have embraced the Messiah. Well, how in the world can you say such a thing? There's no promise in the written. Show me where the prophet of God said it. Show me where the Torah said that. Show me where Isaiah said it. He said he didn't, but the Holy Ghost told me. The Holy Ghost told me. Hallelujah. Hang on tight, friend. One of these days you're going to realize when you see who you are, it ain't that you're going to find a scripture. It's not that you're going to find a quote and somehow find in there Wes Willis's name in the message. You probably didn't look like all the rest of it. You ain't going to find it in there. It's not that you're going to type in and say, Carol Reagan. On one day, Brother Ben say, Carol Reagan will be in the bride. No, it'll be the revelation of God so real to you that when the bride sees who she is, she, the rapture will go. When he makes it so, brother, I ain't got no scripture, I ain't got no scripture. You are the scripture. You are his word. Hallelujah. You become that thought of God made manifest in a human body. And he quickens that and it becomes so real to you that all kinds of people can fall around. You say, I ain't falling. I'm not talking about out of pride and arrogance, but out of rhema. It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So we just waited around the temple, waited around. How come there? First of all, he knew it was going to be a boy child, since they didn't circumcise girls. So he knew that this boy would have to come to the house of God. And like a lot of folks around the message, he knew there's importance to go to the house of God if you're going to see the Christ. Now, if you want to watch Gunsmoke, don't come here, because we don't watch Gunsmoke here. I realize there's a few churches around the Tri-Cities area, and they play Andy Griffith shows at the church, and then they discuss it after they get done. I'm sure glad I got more to talk about than Andy Griffith. Pitiful, ain't it? Yet that's what some of them do. Now, you know, it was revealed to him, so he began by Logos teaching, by Logos understanding. So where would be the best place for me to be if I'm going to see the Christ? Where would be the best place for me to be? Walmart? A local bar? A honky-tonk? What about a denominational? No, he knew the Logos well enough to know, and he had enough logic of understanding of the Word to say, probably the best place to start would be the house of God. Probably everybody that come to church knew him. He'd been there for years. Had this certain look about him. He's always looking. It's sort of like he was always expecting something. I want to have that look about me, don't you, Brother Gene? Oh, man, when I come to the house of God, whether I'm preaching or not. Some preachers really get into the Word as long as they're preaching it. I don't want to get into the Word as long as I'm preaching it. I want to get into the Word because I'm part of the Word. You imagine every time he come to the house of God, there'd be a baby. Wah, wah. No, no, it's not him. There's another boy. There's another boy. You imagine people saying, that guy gives me the creeps. What is he looking for? Man, he's weird. He's all the time looking at these baby boys. Well, what's... And he's always here and early to beat it. What in the world is wrong with him? A rhema had been revealed to him. Oh, glory. You imagine this day, got up, put on his turban, ate his Mediterranean breakfast, put his robes on. He just had this special something today. He was always happy to go to church, but today just seemed like a rapture service or something. He just... In comes this man with this young woman. But now she's about 19, going on 19 years old. This man that she had married, several years older than her. Here she comes in, very poor, both of them. And this child had a very poor dressing and blanket. When he was born, and as you know the story, wrapped in the cloth that come off of the yoke of the ox's neck. No doubt the wealthy women came that day, the eighth day for circumcision. My, their children was dressed in blue and all fine colors and silk. And my, how nice they were. And there stood this poor looking little girl and this older looking man. And people already were looking. Hey, get away from her. Get away from her. She's a prostitute. Trying to hide behind that thing that it was a supernatural. Everybody knows it's a bunch of lies. Said an angel appeared to her. An angel come with a message and told her that she's going to have this baby. When anybody knows if that's going to happen, it happened to the high priest's daughter. Do you understand how Mary was even able to receive this from the angel of God? The angel of God quoted to her Logos. But that did not impart to her the faith that she needed to believe it was her. That angel of the Lord took Logos and quoted to her what the Logos said. But notice her response. Be it unto me according to thy Rhema. So somehow when it come off the pages of that skin of the Old Testament, it was no longer Logos when it was revealed to her. It was not Logos when it was personal. It was Rhema. Do you understand, friend? I don't want to just be a message follower and a message quoter of Logos. I want to be a Rhema believer. So in walks this little girl with this Rhema promise. Be it unto me according to thy Rhema. So out of her womb comes a Logos fulfillment. So here she's packing in her arms the Logos. Now the word Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now remember, he was not born Rhema. He was born Logos. Rhema cannot die. Rhema cannot be killed. So he's born Logos. But when it come to Simeon, it was Rhema. Glory, what? Christ! Notice he didn't say, you'll not die till you see Jesus. But you'll not die till you see Christ. Anointed Word. He was not looking so much for Jesus. He was looking for Christ. Amen! Amen! And that Christ had a human name called Jesus. Don't let me stagger you. The Christ today has got another human name called Greg and Shirley and Donnie and David and Janet. If you're going to look for Christ, where are you going to find him at? What house? What temple? What place? So in walks this little woman with her husband many years older than her. And all of a sudden, I can see him. Lord? Lord, is this the day? Start walking, Simeon. Oh, glory. This is the day. Today I'll see Christ. I wish every one of us had that attitude when we walked through them doors. Tonight, I'll hear Christ Jesus. Tonight, I will see Christ in the service. Tonight, I will hear God speak to me. Not Donnie Reagan, not David Zyler, not some of these other preachers. But I'm expecting Christ Jesus to speak to me. I'm expecting Christ to heal me. I'm expecting Christ to minister to me. Because here he is at the temple of Jerusalem. Her reputation has already run before her since Nazareth is not that far away. So, but now, as they come in through the line, maybe there'll be hundreds of babies to be dedicated. Israel was a large nation, you know. But this time, everybody get away from her. Look at her. Scum. Filth. All scouring. You're a reproach. You filthy Jezebel. You whore. But she packed in her heart, Rhema. They called her an adulterer. God knew she was still a virgin. How in the world can you have a baby and still be a virgin? Only God can do such a thing. She was still a virgin. I said she was still a virgin. A virgin shall bring forth a child. Not a virgin shall just conceive. A virgin shall give birth to a child. How will the bride be a virgin and give birth to Christ? As it was with Mary, so is it with the bride. Now you know how we are as human beings. We can be right in the will of God, doing exactly what God tells us. And when people oppose us, it can embarrass us. We'll flush. Our faces will turn red. Brother Bim said when the scribes come against Jesus and called him all kinds of names, that Jesus' face actually turned red in their presence. It embarrassed him. And he flushed his face, even though he's not guilty of one thing that they said. So you imagine, here she's standing. The shame, the humiliation. It's not true. It's not true what they're saying. But they, human beings, know how to be cruel. They know how to say things to make you feel so bad. And you're not even guilty. You know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. My, when people say this and that and the other, you think, Lord have mercy. You get to think, did I do that? In reality, you know you didn't, but people have that ability. Oh, my. But God's fixing to crown her humiliation. Here comes this old man. Maybe his eyebrows are all grown out long. Hairs in his nose and his ears and his whiskers. And he's coming along. Lord, which one is he? Which one is he? Pass by this one. Nice looking boy. Another nice looking one. But he goes on down to the end of the line, maybe. Nobody around her. Everybody pulling back away from her. And the Holy Ghost says, that's him. Hear this old sage. Reaches over. Scoops up this baby. Holds it up before Adonai. And says, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. I have actually seen your salvation. I've seen it with my eyes. I've touched it with my hands. Let me depart in peace. Because I've seen your Rhema come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. That God, friend, I want you to think as we as the people of God go further on, my, we used to think was going to be so reproached among the denominations and so reproached. I think we're looking at it a little bit different now. I think we're going to suffer more reproach from those who've been around us and who want to make all kinds of YouTube videos and get on Facebook and write all kinds of stuff about us, defectors of the message, and show all these so-called faults and all the shortcomings. The closer we get to the end of the way, the bride will stand are just like Mary. This group won't want nothing to do with us. This group won't. That group won't. Even ones who've been around the message. Even ones who sit right here in this church. But yet that will not stop it. God will vindicate who is his. The rapture will be the showdown, my brother, sister. Let me ask you, is this truth revealed so deeply to you? If I turned and walked away, would you go with me? If Brother Tim Pruitt, what great men that stood behind this pulpit, and you heard tomorrow, Brother David Siler left the message. Brother Darrell left it. This one left it. That one left it. Is your confidence in men, or is it in God's word? Or has it so been revealed to you like it was to Simeon? Oh, Simeon, be careful now. Your reputation, your honor, your credibility. Watch it now. Be careful. Don't be a dead. Oh, no, no, no. You imagine some of the people say, oh, no. Somebody tell him he's going to the wrong woman. Somebody's done told him he's going to the right one. Amen. I don't care how many of us say, don't go to her. No, no, we don't approve of her. She's not in the association. Exactly right. That's why the Holy Ghost came to her. But it was revealed to him. I don't care what anybody tried to say. You're not going to stop him. Because a rhema word from God. Listen to me, children. One rhema word from God has more power than an atomic bomb. It has more power. It has more of God's character. Oh, hallelujah. Than all the logos you can put in one pile. Because a rhema word is so custom fit for you. Wonder how many virgin girls for hundreds of years. Remember, Isaiah prophesied that 712 B.C. So they had hundreds of years to read it. How many of them read that Logos word and believed it might be them? But God didn't just let Mary read it. Remember, Brother Bram tells us how it happened there in 1961. That her and Joseph was went to the church that day. Whenever the priest had read, remember Mary's belief in Beaumont in 1961. The priest had read that scripture. And she said, Joseph, did you notice when the priest read that today, he seemed so inspired. I felt something so. What was it? Precursor to Rhema. No doubt she had heard that for years of her life, but it was only Logos. But when the angel come, he took what was Logos and made it Rhema. Now it's no longer just a scripture in the Bible. It's her scripture in the Bible. It's no longer just a passage that might be fulfilled by somebody. But no, it's so real to her, Brother David, that she is the only girl in the world. There is not another virgin. I don't care where they are. There's not another one in the world that can fulfill that. That's how real Rhema is. Rhema is not you and your mom and your dad and your brother and your sister and the pastor and the deacons. Rhema is you. So all of a sudden, what she had read and heard preached and heard talk about, it just like it jumped right out of the pages of the word. And she could hear it said this way, behold, Mary shall conceive. What was written in Logos called a virgin, now in Rhema form, was not just a virgin, but she could read her own name right in the word. Can't you see why message folks focus so much on Brother Branham and don't see themselves? Don't you understand? They're hearing the message only in Logos, Logos, Logos. Look, friend, there's three great categories of people in Malachi 4. Behold, I, God, send unto you, Elijah, God, us, and Elijah completes Malachi 4, not just Elijah. As a matter of fact, God didn't send Elijah for Elijah. He sent Elijah for me. He sent Elijah for you. But you see an intellectual conception. Well, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. And then they go over here at www.confusetheignorant.com. As I said to you before, it's amazing to me and all these things that you read. It's not men of God who's labored in this message for years and years who's putting up all this trash on the internet. Show me what great man of God is doing such. Show me! Then if I was you, I'd be careful who I was listening to. Come on, church! So it's a disgruntled person over here and another one over there and another one over. Will they consult with men of God who's called to handle the word? No. Uh-oh, don't get quiet on me now. You see, this is another reason why we need a shepherd. Whether or not you like it, you are still sheep. And you need to be led. Well, come on. So you, whenever we go to looking at such a thing, and some are shaking. My, people that's been around for years and years. People that cut their teeth on the pews would say, oh, well, I don't know now. I don't know. I read this website. Me too. I read one. It's www.electseed.com. It's up there in heaven. It's hosted by the Almighty Temporary Services of Internet and Time. And you go in there and you read, and some people say, oh, I'm confused. And I go and say, oh, I see me. I see me. Because I'm looking at that website and I say, oh, I see a mirror. Ah, the gene seed, that's me. The word, that's me. The bride, that's me. The elect, that's me. Some folks go on these unbelieving websites and these men go on there and they go to looking in. They see themselves as being able to be free and wear shorts. And the women see themselves as being liberated from the message and they go to the barbershop and get a bob job. down to the cosmetic store and get them some red lips and some blue eyes and all that sort of thing. It's amazing how that goes with it. Why? That's what's projected from the website. So they're becoming what they're reading. Don't you get quiet on me now. Well, if they're becoming what they're reading, I want to be sure and go to the right side, don't you? I want to go to that word site before the foundation of the world. And when I look in there, let me become what I'm reading. What's this guy? Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God. Bless God, huh? Amen. Blessed God. Oh, yes. Blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy rhema. You imagine the priest on the go, who does he think he is? He wasn't thinking. He knew. Oh, he's trying to make something out of himself. He wasn't making nothing out of himself. God made it out of him. This was not his choice. God let me do it. God, I wanted to do it. God, that kind of guy never gets anywhere with God. But God picks who he wants to reveal. But we must have the right attitude. We must be devout. We must be sincere. We must be humble. And we must stay humble after we receive the rhema if we want more rhema. I've often wondered what happened. He walks out of the pages of Luke 2 and fades into the scripture. And we hear no more of him. Historically, through the canon books of the apostles and writings and so on, what happened to him? Well, no doubt God answered his prayer. He let him depart in peace. Now, did he live another year? Did he live 10 years, 20 years? I have no idea. That was not the important thing. The important thing was he walked into the rhema promise and walked out with the rhema fulfillment. And God no doubt granted what the man asked for and let him have peace. I'm going to ask you something. What could be greater that God could give to us in this time? In this time of trouble, in this time of war, in this time of terrorism and all this going on around the world, economic woes, what can be a greater thing than the peace that he is yours and you are his? Oh my, that I can have the consolation. All dues are paid. Everything is settled. When he comes, my debt is clear. What if I had all kinds of stocks and bonds? What if I had all kinds of riches and wealth? What would it be worth in 6 months from now? What if I had all kinds of things as far as material value? What would it be worth? But if I can have peace tonight with God. Peace that time cannot change, money cannot change, the stock exchange has no effect on it at all, but it is an eternal thing given to me by my Father. I can be able to go if I live on the side of the road in a cardboard box, I can still have peace. But if my rest is in my money, when I lose my money, I ain't got no more hope. If I lose my car, I ain't got no more hope. If my thing is in the worldly goods, when I lose them, I ain't got no more hope. But if I've got it within, then if I lose all that, I've still got it. Watch this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Paul says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But now let's not stop there. Let's read verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us. Now wait a minute. Surely not all them things that he said. Look what he said. As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither having entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them, what? The previous things we just read. Unto us by his, not logos. Do you understand? You can read from the Logos of the intimate love that a Christian can have with Jesus. But you'll never have it until it's revealed to you in the form of Rhema. You see, many people can read the Bible and it's no more than just another romance book. You young girls and you women can spend all of your time reading all that stuff. And you can read it and read it and live in a dream world, which is not in a reality world anyway. Wait for your knight in shining armor and you're Romeo. Why are you waiting for Romeo? You ain't Juliet. You ain't even Jennifer or Julie or whoever. Brother Donnie, I wanted some dashing, wonderful prince that would make me the queen of his heart. Well, maybe God give you what you needed. No rough boy with yellow teeth and feet about that long and rough around the edges. Same thing with some of you macho men that think you're just about the greatest gift that God ever put on the earth to women. Oh my, you wanted a bunch of women around you like Moses did that just drop grapes in your mouth and fix you sweet tea and all kinds of things and wait on you. Your royal highness, is there anything else I can do? You better watch it, buddy. God will give you a Zipporah. Woo! God will give you a Zipporah like he did to Moses. Come on now. But you realize if God gives you that woman, then you're good for each other. Woo! Oh my, how in the world did I get on to that? Notice this, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, not by Logos. We will never know the intimate place that the bride has. Do you understand? Every member of the bride around the world, in a universal global move, God is speaking to every one of their hearts, no matter where they are, in this Rhema way. We'll give them books, we'll give them tapes, we'll give them the message software. That's not the way God's made known. God is not made known in the intimate way by reading more and more and more and more Logos. It's Rhema. I used to preach the quote for years where Brother Bram said these young preachers will take this message and sweep it onto the coming of the Lord Jesus. It was real personal to me when I was young. Y'all ain't heard me quote that in a while, have you? Now when I quote it, I've got to quote it to other people, not to me. So it's not as personal. I'm still looking for the quote where Brother Bram said these old men... These old men will take this message. I've not found it. If some of you brothers have found it, be sure and let me know. Man, you still like quote that quote. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's personal to me. But now it's personal to Brother David and some of these young guys. So I just say, amen. God bless them, Lord. Why? Because I don't fit in that category no more. And you understand when we look at the world, well, I'm not sure it's me. I'm not sure that's me. But if God opened that up and all of a sudden it dropped, and you like Rhema, like Simeon said, I'm not going to die. God, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. Lord, who can I tell this to? Well, some things you're better off not to tell. There's experiences I have had with God and things my God has told me I've never even told my wife, much less some of these message people, because you just cause them to blaspheme. You understand? Many of you are the same way. God has dealt with you and revealed things to you. And you know why? He don't want us to all the time tell everything that happens. It's between you and him. He wants it to be that way. He wants it to be that you're not serving him just by Logos alone, but in such a personal way that he could tell you something, speak to you, meet with you in such a profound way, and you would never utter it your entire life. Because it's so sacred that you would break the sacredness by sharing it with others. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You see, many people tell things that happen to them because they think it glorifies the flesh. Not realizing that some of those intimate things are never to be repeated. And when you tell it, it proves to him he cannot reveal himself to you that way again. Because you'll brag about it, you'll tell people about it, and he proving to him right there, no more. I've often wondered if Brother Branham, all the things that he told us and was allowed to tell us, what happened to that man, Brother Skip, that he was never allowed to say? What happened to that man in such personal ways with God that God just give him that little nod? Don't never say nothing about this. Because he wanted it to be so intimate between him and God. Logos Christians don't understand that. Everything they know, they share. Everything there, they talk about. Why? They're missing the Rhema walk. Oh. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Not by the preacher now. Not by the written word. Not by a tape. Paul don't say a tape searches it. But the Spirit, He searches the deep things of God. Notice this avenue. Totally lost to Logos Christians. The only thing they know about God is what they read or what they hear in a tape or what they hear their preacher say. But the Spirit searches the deep things of God. He goes into God's being. He goes into God's mind. He goes into God's heart. And bring from God's heart and God's mind and God's being to those intimate receivers in the realm of spirit. And drops that down in their heart. And Logos people sit there and say, I have no idea what he's talking about. If they can't type it in on the computer and they can't find a search quote, they have no idea. It's not searched by a search engine. It's not searched by Logos. I can't even give it to you. Brother Branham did not give it to us. The Spirit Himself goes into the deep parts of God. Lord Jesus. Notice this in Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. That they may do all the words of this law. Psalms 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Now notice, the secret of the Lord. So God has secrets. But the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. So what channel, what means will God use to convey the deepest parts of Himself? The channel He chose was the Spirit. Did you see, friends, those that are in the message that are so hung up on tape, can't you see why? They'll totally miss what God is doing. They have no access into the Rhema realm of God. They have no access by the Spirit. Notice Proverbs 3:22, for the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but His secret is with the righteous. Intelligent men can study, can read, can listen. They can put together doctrines. They can put together, you know, foundations. They can put together a skeletal remains of a body, a church. They can put together the sinew. They can be able to pull together many things. But remember when Ezekiel saw that vision, Ezekiel, my, seeing it come together, and the bone to his bone and the leg and all this and other. But then the prophet had to prophesy to the wind. The breath of God. Amen. The prophet, God, he could do all of that, but the prophet could not bring life into the body. Your pastor, I love you with all of my heart, but I cannot bring life into you. Only the Spirit. Only the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. Notice this, Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. The one place in the New Testament for Jesus rejoices. And he ain't shouting his shoe heels off. The music ain't going and Jesus is dancing around and showing them how to, you know, how to dance. But Jesus rejoiced in spirit because truth was hid. Isn't that amazing? Jesus rejoiced and we get mad. People get mad at you when you tell them that. God hides the truth and reveals it to his own. No, that ain't my God. That ain't my God. Well, it may not be your God, but it's the God of the Bible. Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. So your Jesus rejoices that the Father hid it. From who? The wise and prudent. The Romans? The Greeks? The philosophers? Oh, it wasn't just them, friends. It was those men saying, I said, who are you? I say, we're not well. You're a Samaritan. You got a devil. He had hid it from them people who was reading the prophets. And then a rhema word would come out one cold October morning. When a little guy got up there late, and he was sitting beside the wall. Because all night he'd been dreaming. All night he'd been dreaming that he could see. So he got out there that morning and he was late, but there wasn't nobody around. And it was real cool, October. So he sits down at his place, taps along and finds his place. He sits down. He notices it's deathly silent. And all of a sudden he hears some people coming through. And he kind of screams out a little bit. What's going on? What's going on? And the prophet said some nice lady that had been following Jesus. He said, because that's the way the followers of Jesus are. They're nice. So I guess you can follow Brother Branham and not be nice. But if you follow Jesus, you'll have to be nice. I'm convinced we've got a lot of message followers, but I don't know how many Jesus followers we got. Don't get mad at me now. Young lady, Jesus. Yes, he's passing through. He's on his way down to go down and eat breakfast with the businessman down there. And he's, Jesus. Oh, see the one that was doing the miracles. Yes, that's him. Jesus. Oh, let me see if I can find a quote on this. He didn't have a Braille Bible. Let me see if I can. While he's looking, Jesus will done be gone. But something so dropped in that man's heart. And he screamed out, Jesus! Son of David! Son of David! Oh, glory to God! He's going to get it! Because he's made the right claim. He knows who he is. Son of David, have mercy on me. You imagine thousands of people around Jesus and all of a sudden he just... Brother, sister, I don't want to be the greatest preacher in the message. I don't want to have the biggest church. I don't want to be this, that, and other. But I want to have power within me to stop Jesus in his tracks. That's what I want. I don't want to be a theologian. I don't want to be some great person. I don't want to be the most liked man in the message. But in the hour of my need, I want to be able to stop Jesus right in his tracks. What good does the intellect do if you can't stop him? Be of good cheer. He calleth for thee. Oh God. He didn't call for his church. He didn't call for his family. He didn't call for the whole assembly. He called for Bartimaeus. B-A-R was son of. So he was son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. So the son of God was calling for the son of Timaeus. And the son of Timaeus recognized the son of David. And because it had been so quickened to him, he now had a direct line into this power of dunamis. Do you understand? He had not one written scripture that he could put his finger on. Now, in the last days, there'll be a Bartimaeus. He'll sit on the certain side of the gate. Get by October the 3rd. It'll be real cold. He didn't have that. Don't misunderstand it. He didn't even need that. What he had was faith. Now, remember, their faith was virgin-like. It wasn't like ours. We've been through so many church ages and so much stuff. I wonder sometimes how much faith we even understand and what we've got. But their faith was virgin. And they just heard it and somehow sprung up in them. And now he's got a direct contact of this power of dunamis. What would you? But remember now, before this happened, one day Bartimaeus, a little girl, got sick. Bartimaeus, some of them had little doves that tumbled over one another, and some of them had little lambs in order to do tricks for people. Bartimaeus' wife had got real sick, and he offered them doves to Jehovah. He spared his wife. And his little girl got sick. All Bartimaeus had was a little lamb. So he promised Jehovah, "Jehovah, if you'll heal my little girl, I'll give you my lamb." But this is the way he made his living. His little lamb would do tricks and the people would drop money there. So his little girl got sick, got well. So here he goes down to the temple. And the high priest says, "Bartimaeus, where goest thou?" He said, "I'm going to offer my lamb." He said, "Oh, Bartimaeus, thou canst not do this. That lamb is your eyes. That lamb is the way you make your living. But here, let me give you the money, and you go down and buy your lamb." But he said, "Great high priest, I didn't promise God any lamb. I promised God my lamb. And if Bartimaeus keeps his promise, God will provide a lamb for my eyes." Oh God, what was it, friend? Something, Brother Skip, had hold on to him, and he knew if it stayed about, the prophet of God said right there he was, not 200 yards from where Bartimaeus was. What was it? The providing lamb for his eyes. And he was so quickened to Bartimaeus, amen. And he goes, "What would you have in it, Lord, that I can receive my sight?" Do you believe that same Jesus lives tonight? Are we serving a God that's lost his power? Are we serving a God that's weak and puny? Is not that same Lord Jesus right here in this building tonight? Cannot that same Lord Jesus say to you, "What would you have me to do? What would you have me to do for you?" Listen. Hallelujah. Here we sit on this October night. We don't have a dish in our hand begging, but yet we got needs. I hope I've been able to be a reflector of him tonight, where you could say, "Oh, I've got such needs. Oh, who is it passing by? What's going on?" I hope that I could be a true follower and say back to you, "It's Jesus. It's Jesus, it's the miracle worker, the mighty God. Oh, Jesus, he's here. Yes, he's here." I hope that I can deliver and be a representative of him, where I can be able to bring him to you in such a real way that you know he ain't 10,000 miles away, but he's right here in our presence tonight. That you, like Bartimaeus, can reach out, "Lord Jesus, my child, my house, my home, my finances, whatever it is. Have you got faith in him tonight, children? To where you can stop him. Stop him. Right now. That your faith." I had no idea what all was going on in heaven. I know the city, even by 1965, was so far into the stages of completion. The gates had been already hung. The streets had already been laid. I don't know how close. I don't know what lacks. But whatever's going on, I believe there's people in this building tonight that can be able to reach out and touch him. But we don't want to just repeat Logos. We want it to be Rhema, so real to our hearts, Brother Jim. I took Eliana to therapy on Thursday. She said, "Poppy, you've been preaching about Rhema at church." 6 years old. I thought, "Lord, I hope some of the adults are getting it." She said, what is Rhema? I thought, my Lord. That's why it's important to bring your kids to the house of God. You mamas, you may get so discouraged. You say, I don't get nothing at all, but you may give up a lot, but you keep bringing them young'uns to church. You keep bringing them to church and try to keep them still and try to keep them in the house of God where they can hear what's going on. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. He's passing by. He's passing by. Is there anybody here that can take time before you go eat after church? Is there anybody here that will take time out of your schedule to go outside and talk to whoever after church? Will you be like Bartimaeus? Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord. Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, I'm in despair. I'm under depression. Whatever you need is. Lord, I need more Rhema. I need that. I'm not discouraged. I'm not depressed. I'm not sick as far as I know. But I need more of His Word revealed to me. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, pass us not, Lord God. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Lord God, I pray tonight. May your presence move through this place. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, may you minister to the needs of your children. Not only those here, but those that will stream it, those that will archive it. Lord, may the anointing be so real, Lord Jesus, when they go through this service and home or driving down the road. Lord, Brother Darrell told me a couple of weeks ago, he's catching up on some of the services. He thought he was going to pull off on the side of the road. The presence of God comes so real in his vehicle. Just weeping there. Oh, God, make it that real. Lord, help us tonight. Lord Jesus, I pray. Lord, pass by this way, would you? We know you're here. You promised us. With us two or three gathered together, my name, I'll be in the midst. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, pass this way to that, Lord. Heal those that are sick. Encourage those that are down, Lord God. Oh, we call upon you tonight, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. We need you, Lord, like never before. Lord God, many of us just need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. A refilling, Lord, of your presence and of your power. Grant it to us tonight, Father. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us, Lord, of being so busy in life. Just getting so caught up in things. Help us, Lord God, I pray. Help us, Lord Jesus. We call upon your name tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you reach out to him, Bartimaeus? Would you reach out to him if you're blind tonight spiritually? And you can't really relate to what I've said, but you can see enough of it by Logos to know that there's more than what you've got. Say, Lord, help me. You got a need in your body, need in your home, your children, your husband, your finances, whatever it is. Oh, Jesus, pass by this way, Lord. As Bartimaeus sat there and he thought, not 200 yards from where I'm sitting at one day, Elijah and Elisha crossed that Jordan River. Hallelujah. He come back across, Elijah did, and said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? He said, not too far down the road from here. Joshua stood and marched around them walls, and they come tumbling down. He said, oh, if you could be that real today. And the prophet said, not 200 yards from where he was sitting, the same captain of the Lord's army that met Joshua that day was right there. Lord God, make it that real to us tonight, Father. That we can know that same captain, the Lord Jesus, is right here in our midst tonight. Hallelujah. He's not here to march around the walls of Jericho, but he's here to set us free from the things that bind us. He's here, Lord God, to deliver us, Father, from the oppression and things that we go through. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm crying, save. Hallelujah. Oh, and while all others now are called, Lord Jesus, oh Father, to not pass me. Everybody now, let's sing it together. Let's reach out to Him, whatever you need. I'm crying, Savior, won't you hear my heart's cry? Hallelujah, Jesus. Everybody again, we're crying, hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. Well, I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. Well, Remus, what I wanted. For Remus, what I wanted. What I wanted from the Lord. For Remus, what I wanted. For Remus, what I wanted. Glory! Come on, saints, let's worship the Lord together. Oh, I got just what I needed. I got just what I needed. I got just what I needed from my Lord. Well, I got just what I needed. I got just what I needed. I got just what I needed from the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Will there be no turning back? Be no turning back. To follow my Lord, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. No turning, be no turning back. Be no turning back. Oh, be no turning back. Be no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. Cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning, be no turning back, be no turning back, glory! Oh, be no turning. I don't think I'll ever forget as long as I live. When I was in Johannesburg, South Africa, and I heard my black brothers and sisters, probably 1,200, 1,400 of them are in that building, and they started singing that song. And when they would come to that part, no turning, they'd all go, be no turning back. And I kind of wish I had a dark suntan. And black folks can get by with more than we can, can't they? You know what? I think I might just do it anyway. Oh, my. Every time I've been there in that convention, every year after, I ask Brother Joseph, will y'all sing my song for me? Oh, my. Probably up there in the heaven, the Lord will say, go ahead and sing it for Donnie. He liked it so well. Is that the way you feel tonight? Be no turning back. Where could we go? Well, can you explain it all? Absolutely. I don't even understand. I can't even explain it to myself. How can I explain it all to you? But I believe it. I die for it. I believe it's right. Amen. Amen. I believe it. I believe it not only because of Logos value. It's been revealed to me. Hallelujah. It's been revealed to me. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray something was said, Lord, to help them, to encourage them a little along the way. Lord, if one person was helped, it'd be worth all the studying, all the praying, all the applying I've done. Just one person. If something of eternal value was accomplished that one person could be helped tonight, what would that be worth? I kind of believe there's more than one. But if there's just one, it'd been worth the whole service. It'd been worth everything we've done to come together just for one person to get a little nudge to help them cross the finish line. Lord, we know the baton's been put in our hand. Lord, we've made the last turn and the finish line is right before us. As in any race, people come and they fall out. They can't make it. They can't go. They can't go. But oh God, may we have strength to finish it. May we say like Paul, I've run the race. I finished my course. I finished this thing. I don't want to stop somewhere, Lord, along the way. I want to go all the way with you, Jesus. Granted, I pray, God, bring us back in the morning, Lord, if it be pleasing to you, Father. In Jesus' name. How many can say it's good to be in the house of God? God bless you, saints. I love you so much in the Lord. Go in the fear of God. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. No turning, be no turning back. Be no turning back. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, be no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. 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 No turning, be no turning. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. I love you. No turning, be no turning.